Exodus chapter 33. This we come to where the Lord draws Moses' heart in boldness. Show me thy glory. Now, one of my greatest joys, and I have to say this, how the Holy Ghost has shed love abroad so fervently in this place, to be amongst those that truly search out the Scriptures like never before. I commend you, saints. It's amazing. I thank God. And you're not just in your Word to regurgitate. You're searching the Word as kings search the Word. You're searching it for the message of ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. You're seeking it out as a bride would search for the love letters from the bridegroom. Amen. Now we understand that we could see nothing of ourselves. I could find nothing in my own strength. But I'll tell you one thing, that grace gives me a desire to call out to the Lord and say, "Oh, where are you going to take me today, Spirit? What spring out of a flinty rock are you going to bring forth to me today?" And he does it. And he does it on his time, and he does it in his depth and amazing way. But I am thankful to God that I am, and it isn't to shine anything. We're talking Shekinah glory time is what this is. This is the Holy Ghost and how he's shed that love abroad. We want to know him. And think of how long you've walked with the Lord. You know, add up people in here and all of our walk with God, and that thousands of years. But yet we want to know him. And it never ceases. It never stops. And this is what this is about. And we're going to see this type and encouragement to us in our brother Moses. And tonight we're going to launch into, again, one of these journeys, if you will, into the deep things of God. This much the more. And I'm speaking of the faith that God wrought in Moses, and specifically in Moses, at the time that he brought Moses to the height of enlightened grace, when he has the confidence and boldness and truly a ravishing in his heart, that he says to God, "Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory." You think about Moses' life. How beautiful. What a, if you will, an exercise over and over again of the faithfulness of God. But that's you too. That's you too. You know that. Amen. But an exercise in long suffering and patience and sorrow and frustration and trial upon trial, but miracle upon miracle. Isn't that what really trials are anyways, aren't they? He's got to bring a trial to show you a miracle. Right? Sure he does. That's how God does it. But then to bring forth in Moses through all of those things a boldness, and God to enlighten his eyes to see the heart of the Lord's desire to give Moses the confidence to tell God, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." The faithfulness of God established in Moses to bring that out. And praise the Lord, as we studied this, think of what we have, even a better thing than Moses. Moses brought to that point of fellowship with God to a point of confidence in grace. Because we're going to read about that. That's where all of this comes from. How could you tell God anything? Grace. Because you understand his desire and what he wants and what's in his heart and what he sees for us. Well, for Moses, praise be to God, it was, "Show me thy glory." But to us, praise God, in this time, in this day, it's, "Lord, make me your glory." And that's the truth. That's what we have. And that's what Paul's gospel through the Holy Ghost. We know that the glory of the man is the woman. This message is about confidence in grace to truly command in love, as Moses was brought to, "Show me your glory." Now, Let's lay the groundwork before we get into this a little bit. You think about Moses, and our life is pretty much just like his. Oh, yes. Called from the womb. Matter of fact, the Word of God says he saw us in the womb. Amen. And I thank the Lord that he knows us like that. Even in ages past, he saw us in Christ. Praise God. And then the miracle life that God protected Moses from the ungodly, just like he protects you from the ungodly, keeps you from the heathen way. How we've tried to pursue it over and over, it just never sits right, does it, saints? No. Yep. Even in the very heart of godless Denver, I meant Egypt. Huh? Come on now. Yet the Lord protected him to show forth his glory just like you. Isn't that beautiful? And you know your life. There was no way you got here tonight through all of your life if he didn't circle you. I was looking at a picture of Bob with his buddy in a, I think probably a hotel room with a golf club in his hand as a kid. And I was thinking, oh, the Lord had his eye on you. And you didn't even know it. He found you, see. He saw us in his son. It just is dear to me because we're one. That's my story too. It's the story of grace. But see, this is how we know these things and how God had been so encouraged to protect him. But in that love that God had for Moses, he put Moses there. And he left Moses in that perfect testing of faith to show Moses his faithfulness, just like the Lord to us. The faithfulness of the Lord to his word, the faithfulness of God to his promises to us, and how he will perform the word in the thing which he has sent it, just like us. Understand the value you are to God. I thank God. It's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but it's to understand the value of the grace of God and the value of his vessels of mercy upon whom he bestows the riches of his glory. That's you and me. Praise God. And this is what this is. And this is why this is ours. And 40 years he builds that trust and that confidence there in Egypt before he frees Moses. He frees Moses from Egypt, but not from more testing. God desires more glory. As a matter of fact, if you look at Moses' life, he never released Moses from testing. I got news for you. He's never going to release us from testing. We're his investment. This is it. We're his inheritance. This is it. And there's one way he brings that forth. Faith. Faith. Amen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that faith, praise God, is going to be shown forth. It's going to be exercised, if you will. I know we get ourselves all in a knot and say, oh, I've got to increase my faith. I've got to increase my faith. I understand that, and the word of God encourages that. But where is that faith to be increased in? Are we talking about it's got to be my faith, or is it my faith in his faithfulness? That's the mark. See, we are always going to be battled with this flesh to think that some work of ourselves as opposed just complete confidence in the Lord. We've heard that over the years, haven't we? Decade upon decade in here. Praise God. Almost 100 years. Can you imagine that? It's getting close if the Lord tarry. 100 years. And it never changes. Confidence in the Lord. And I am thankful. It's faith in his faithfulness. Amen? We have been given the faith of the Son of God. That's faith in his faithfulness. That's faith in that life. Confidence in the plan of God. That's what's beautiful. I'm confident in the plan of God. Amen? That precious blood, complete victory, finished. Amen. Believing, I went from death to life everlasting because that very life now lives in me. All of it. That's what's so amazing. It's all there. Complete. Readied, able, all of the ability. A little Lord of all. I like that. You know? Some of us, you know, it's not you. Well, you know, poor Jesse got the short end of the stick. No, I didn't. I got it all. Just like every one of God's precious children. And you do have it all. And matter of fact, the camel you got is perfect. It can't be any other. That's why you got to thank the Lord that you are wonderfully and fearfully made to finish with a full joy. That's the only camel that's going to finish for you is yours. You. Don't try to be like anybody else. I want to follow that same faith and love, but it's got to be in this vessel. It has to have the trials and the temptations and all of those struggles. Praise God. It's called a good fight of faith. And praise God how beautiful this all is and how it works out. But that was God. And he said, oh, Moses, I'm going to free you from this to put you in a whole new 40 years of perfect testing. The number 40, perfect testing. He had 40 years in Egypt. I'm going to put you 40 years, son, on the backside of that desert. You're not ready to minister. You're not ready to deliver. You're going to wait and meditate. You're going to occupy in the Lord. I've got some goats you need to herd for me. Humility, confidence, son. Just like us. If you'll take it. If you'll take it. Praise be to God. And see, the Lord can do the same thing and will do the same thing because that's his work. He wants that worked in us. A complete work. And it doesn't have to physically be in the backside of a desert. He can take you there, as I've said it many times, in spirit at your dinner table. That's where he teaches you these things. This is where he'll begin to minister, yea, these deep things of God to your heart. And you let him direct your life. He took Joseph and did the same thing. But he took Joseph and did the same thing, and he put him to the second command of basically the world, if you will. Did the same thing in the Apostle Paul, and he ended up in a prison. My choice has nothing to do with it. May it be God's choice. I was expressing that to Brother Michael. I had first choices in my life, I did. But then there's the best choice. And the best choice is always God's choice. And then by the grace of God, may God's choice be the only choice. Amen? So we thank him for this. Well, then 40 years passed. Moses now 80 years old. Time has come. Double portion of testing produced great faith and confidence. The Lord now would use Moses to benefit his people. And I love how that all started there. Well, I can't. I kind of know that. The Lord gave me 40 years. Called me to be your pastor at the age of 40. And that was the first thing out of my mouth to the Lord too. I don't know anything about this. But right after that was, as I told you, this has got to be you. This has to be your enabling. And I know you can do this. Praise be to God. With Moses, it's just like us. It's just like us. It's no difference. It's the grace of God that's with us. Amen? This is how this works. And it's the Lord that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then we know the story, the amazing deliverance out of Egypt. But praise be to God. It was another 40 years, wasn't it, in the wilderness. Perfect, perfect, perfect. He had a trifecta, as they say. I'll tell you, it's just amazing how God just continued to work that in him and wanted that encouragement. But 40 years in the wilderness and testimony beyond of the faithfulness of God. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. He loves, he chastens. And he's going to chasten us till our last breath. It is. Because That's the way that he woos and proves and continues to stir us. He never lets us just kind of, if you will, there's a rest to the people of God, but yet there's an unrest all around. It just is that way. You know, I think about those, well, Lord, you know, I just want to sit down in my nest. I hope I'm going to stick a thorn there, son. You ain't going to sit in that nest. Well, Lord, don't I get a reprieve for just, nope, you, we're going. Well, and then he's got me up on his wing, and I'm at about 40,000 feet. I say one more peep, and I'm in a free fall. Like that little eaglet. Whoa, you know. But then he teaches you how beautiful. You never see things unless you get up there. And if you just quit screaming and you just stretch out what he's given, then you'll be able to see. Praise his name. I believe we're beginning to see. It's a wonderful thing. But so many other experiences, if you think about it, all of those experiences, I should say, that Moses had, there were so many that went right along with him that were there. But it was Moses who saw and knew the ways of God. It was Moses, as it said, who knew God face to face as a friend. And we're in that portion of Scripture, matter of fact. But now we come through those 120 years. Moses is at basically the end of his life. He's been given the law. He's seen the Lord write the law into the rock. He's seen these things. I mean, just incredible. He's seen and experienced things with the Lord in ways no other man even to this day has experienced God. And over all of those years, amazing, isn't it? I mean, he knew he was taken, he was drawn out of that basket. He knew that story. He saw God divinely put the people in his life that God put in there. He saw divinely how God put him, basically treated in a sense as one of Pharaoh's sons. Educated like that, given all of that information, if you will, of the great society of that day, all of that attack, but God protected him. Amen. And then God sends him on the backside of a desert. Then God brings him back. And then God has all of this just incredible deliverance. Those plagues that come forth. God speaking to him and telling him, this is what I'm going to do, son. Go tell Pharaoh. Go tell him. Oh, he's not going to agree to this, but just go tell him anyways. Oh, I've hardened his heart. Watch me, son. And Moses sees these things and he experiences all of this. And, you know, the confidence that is built between him and the Lord. But yet, even with all of that experience, with all of those acts, there was still a love and a fellowship that God wanted. There was even more. Oh, yes. There was a knowing that he wanted Moses to call out to know. He wants to get Moses to that point. I beseech thee, Lord, show me thy glory. He's pressing us, honeys. He just is. I thank God I'm fellowshipping with, I pray to God, all of us in here tonight. We know this story. That he's pressed us to the point of knowing, experience, his faithfulness, the word of his grace. I beseech you, Lord, make me your glory. Make me your glory. Now, this is ravishing time. This is what God had wrought in his heart. He wanted, he saw this. There was a vision that exceeded all the others. And yes, once again, just like us, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? When you receive Paul's gospel, enlightened eyes of understanding by the Holy Ghost, your vision exceeds, your desire exceeds. This is why we come. And as we rejoiced on Sunday evening, this is all this is about. This is all we long for. This is all we want to eat, is the strong meat. There isn't anything else to preach. There is no other gospel. There isn't. If you try to tell me by the grace of God, it's, well, that ain't a gospel. This is it. And I thank God. That's that panning, that insatiable desire. And we're going to get to this here in just a second, to know him. And so we come to the time of Moses at this moment we're talking about. That Moses is going to meet the Lord and he's going to see him. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, what the Lord, I believe, and again, this is by his might, what he will open up in spirit through this portion of Scripture, if he tarry over the next few weeks, is marvelous. And let it begin this evening. But we begin tonight with this geyser of faith and love that's ready to burst in Moses. So here we are at the 33rd chapter of Exodus. Let's begin reading from verse 7. And it says there, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. The Lord had just ministered to Moses about this tabernacle and all of the instruments of it, how it would be established and how it would be set up and all of these different things. This is the first time in Scripture that it speaks of that the tabernacle is set up, which we'll get to in a minute. There's a reason for this. And there's a reason for this, that it happened at this moment, that it's the moment right before Moses is going to command in grace to God, show me thy glory. So he says here, go afar off from the camp, call it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up, stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Something about that tabernacle, amen? Something very special about that. And something very special that's going to transpire in Moses here in just a moment. But see, this tabernacle is really the catalyst for glory because it's worship. It's worship. See, without worship, there'll never be glory. There can't be glory without worship. It can't happen. And what is worship again? It's drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. It's the most intimate love there is. It's the bridal love. That's the glory. Know that. Understand that. Rejoice in that. That's why it is that heavenly Jerusalem, the Lamb, the Lamb's wife, the bride, the Lamb's wife, she descends from heaven having his glory. Amen. Why was it said again? Martha, don't you bother her. Mary, she's chosen the better part. It's the place of worship. Amen. And this is exactly where this had to be. It had to be set out from the people of God because it had to be a place that was set apart. It was holy. To partake in that, you had to be separated out. Yes, you had to go alone. You understand this. This is the wooing of our God. Now go to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know what thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now this is wonderful how Moses, he inquires in boldness with the Lord, doesn't he? Isn't this a marvelous thing? God, he's saying here, you've said. God, you've said. He loves to hear that. He wants you to minister the word of God to him. This is how we speak to God. It's wonderful. What do you think faith is? Faith is the word of God, isn't it? Praise the Lord. How set apart do you want to speak to God? How, if you will, in what maturity and loftiness and encouragement and fellowship do you want to speak with God? Well, how much word do you want? You speak to him in the word. You speak to him in his son and about his son. All of those things. Let this be put together in your heart. But he says, God, you've said this. He stands on the word. He quotes the word of God to God. And I love this. You know me by name. You know me by name. You like me. I have found grace in thy sight. See, you've got to know this and believe it. He didn't say I merited favor because I did all this. I didn't find favor because I followed you for 120 years. He never stood on that. He comes to the point at the end of his life, I found grace. I didn't deserve one iota of anything of my whole life. This was you. Okay, now remember, we're moving into glory time. Moses has seen a lot of stuff. He's seen stuff over the top. But he's going to be encouraged. Oh, I see it. I want to see your glory. Yes, praise God. This is it. And, you know, come on now. And we know this story. We know that he had to even cover his face after he saw that. And that was just from seeing it. And that was just from seeing the backside of it. What are you seeing? Well, let me tell you what I'm seeing. You see what I'm saying? All right, stay with this. It just gets more incredible. And praise the Lord. But see, he said, I found grace in your sight. Once again, how many years has Moses known God at this time? 120 years. 120 years he's seen the Lord. Experienced the hand of God in a sense. The voice of God. He's heard the voice of God. God has told him these things. The power of God, once again, like probably no one else ever has experienced. But here, there's more grace. There's more grace. There's much the more, if you will, that Moses realized that he has not received of the Lord in 120 years. Do you see that panting that really is hitting at the end of his life? Boom, boom, boom. Reminds me a lot like Apostle Paul, doesn't it? You ever read Philippians and Ephesians, Colossians? But especially Philippians. There's an urgency there, isn't there? Oh, great urgency. The if by any means comes. The, you know, forgetting those things which are behind. I press, I reach. It's like I'm incensed. And he'd walked with the Lord at that time over 30 years. The things he saw, the things he knew, the miracles, the trials. Once again, sounds familiar, doesn't it? But there was one thing, just the one thing. And you think about how the Lord has done this in the lives of those that God has, you know, put as you will, the faith of our fathers. Think about Abraham. He just pursued that city, that builder who, maker is God. Amen? That was his. But then here's Moses. He even gets another vision. I want to see your glory. And then here's us through the Apostle Paul. Now what do we have? By the grace of God, I want to be that glory for you. Yes, yes. Now, Remember how we've studied Abraham. What city was he pursuing to see? That one descending from heaven. Amen? Also known as the bride, the Lamb's wife. Wonder what this glory, if you will, that Moses is encouraged to say he wants to see. Now we can understand this on the surface. And I do understand this on the surface. He wants to see God. He loves God. He knows God. He knows the ways of God. Moses saw his life. And we can say there were things that God did in Moses' life. He hasn't done anything compared to what he did for Moses for me. What a shame. What a shame. You talk about a ye a little faith. Come on. We have a better thing. It's still the same word of God. It was audible, but is this not audible to your heart? And we have the whole counsel of God. And then God has so divinely graced us, we have the testimony and the faith of our fathers that went before us to testify of these things. Marvelous. His care for us, exceeding. Exceeding. Exceeding more than truly keeping you 40 years in Egypt and 40 years on the backside of a desert and then 40 years in the wilderness. He's kept you exceeding beyond that. Amen. You have to know this. And what he's shown us in this day, in this age, that by the grace of God, and this is so exciting, the centuries that have passed since Jesus been crucified. And yet we believe more than the day we began. From the first day till now. Amen? Amen? Praise God. You talk about a miracle. Oh, yes. Let him grace your heart with it. Rejoice. But here he is. And Moses now realizes there's something more to receive at this 120th year of his life. Ready to be? Really? Again, ready to be with the Lord. Verse 13, going back to Exodus 33. Moses says to him, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Now praise be to God. He's been shown grace, but he realizes there's more grace. Isn't this wonderful? That's what Moses keeps asking for, grace. It's beautiful. But see, there's no limit to grace. And more grace knows, you know what more grace knows? It's got to be now. He didn't take the grace and say, "Well, God, show me later." He took the grace. You show me now. You show me now. Now, again, but he's asking in the perfect will of God because he's asking to know God. Okay? There's no delay. There's a passion. There's a panting. He says, "Show me now." And notice this. He says, "Show me now thy way." And what is the way of the Lord? That I may know thee. Look at that. He says that. "Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee." Think about, I'll even say think about our lives. We always, especially as young children in the Lord, what did you ask the Lord for? "Show me the way. Show me the door. I'll show you the door." No, I'm just teasing. But show me which way I should go. And show me that this is maturity. "Show me thy way that I may know thee." See, God's way is what? That we know him. This is where this is coming to, that I may know thee. This is going to if you will, culminate, climax at this point where Moses here shortly is going to say, show me thy glory. That's how much I now know I can know you. There's nothing hidden. I want to know you that way. So this panting takes him to this point of saying that I may know thee, and make no mistake. You know what? After 120 years, Moses knew God. Moses did know God at this point. He did. But this know that I may know thee is intimately to discover. This means that I may intimately discover you. This is incredible. And that's just what glory is. Glory is intimately discovering God. Do you understand that? If you want the glory of God, if you want that, you're going to have to intimately discover him. How do we intimately discover him? Through Paul's gospel. That's it. That's the gospel that, by the Holy Ghost, enlightens our eyes to see intimately. And not just to see the glory, but by the grace of God, to be that glory for him. And that is the way of God, and the way of God is to know him. The way of God is to know me. Think about how people want to, they think of the way of God. Works. Think of that. It's all working and working and working. What does the Lord tell us? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's knowledge. Praise God, and knowledge of him. See, we have a better thing. This is just like Paul's prayer. Go over to Ephesians 3. It's the same thing. God's way, God's height, God's glory is to know him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. That we may be able to comprehend. See, there's a knowing there. With all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. It's a marvelous thing. But you'll never have something that you don't know about. You have to know it to have it. Yes, you do. The life of Christ in us is a little Lord of all. But if you don't know him in this height and depth and length and breadth, you'll never know. You understand that? You'll never know the fullness of it. You'll never know the capacity. You'll never know the true calling, if you will, this vocation that the Word of God talks about, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's only one way that you can know that way. And that's to know him. See, people and God's people, they're out doing. But the place to know him was in the tabernacle, worshiping. Glory. This is all about glory. Vessels prepared afore unto glory. Praise God. It couldn't be more, here it is, here it is. And we thank the Lord for this, because the way of God is to know him. And once again, go over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, about this knowledge and about his desire. Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All of those things that he experienced, all of those triumphs, if you will. Everything about Paul's life. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss, but for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And that word excellency, never forget this. It means superior in rank. Glory. Glory. That was everything. Everything and anything about his life was dung, but for that knowledge, what we're speaking of this night, What God has given us, praise God, by faith. Hallelujah. Oh my, to see these things by the grace of God, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. That's the knowledge, this superior rank. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now it doesn't end there. This know him, that I may know him. What is the way of God? To know him. And you cannot know God without knowing the word of God and knowing the word of his grace. You can play around with God, but you'll never know him. You can see the acts of God. You could sing till you're blue in the face. You can have fellowship dinner till you're done. But the only way to know him is the word. And that is his way. And I believe as Christians, don't we want God to have his way? Aren't we encouraged? Israel, they knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. But it got really pinpointed down here at the end, didn't he? Because he asked him one last time, show me thy way that I may know. He didn't even really, I don't think he even realized at the moment he was saying that what he was even saying. But God put them words in his mouth. God put that desire in his heart. I know there's something here. God, give me the words to utter. Well, here they are. Boom. And oh, is he going to know him? He's going to know him because he's going to, and then he's going to ask. Oh, yes, he is. There has to be a performance of those things. Think of that. Go back to the Gentile brides again. See, they saw it, didn't they? But they didn't doubt, but they had to make a move. And you get to the point where you command in grace. You're not commanding like a baby or a brat child. You're commanding in grace. You're standing on the word and you're saying, God, you said these things to me. This is my life. This is my promise. This is everything that you've given. I hold my crown aloft. Hallelujah. I have this. This is mine. And I command in grace. Praise the Lord. Make this in me for you. Build this in me for you. By the word of your grace, complete the good work which you have begun. Perform it. Confidence in grace, not confidence in my strength. I stand on the word of God. I stand on his promises, which are yea and amen. I stand before him a vessel of nothing but beautiful mercy. I can't do a thing. I can't merit a thing, but I got it all. In matter of fact, we're in the portion of scripture where he's going to have to tell, well, I'll have grace, son, on whom I'll have grace, and I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Oh, all right. Well, then show me thy glory. You see, you'll never get to that point until, as Moses says, he says, you know me by name and you've shown me your grace. He keeps standing on that, doesn't he? Never veers off on anything. He didn't say, well, I led your people out and, you know, they murmured and complained, but I stood with you. He doesn't stand on that. He knows that's just the faithfulness of God. That's the grace of God that's with him. What he stands on again to go further with him is his grace, his love. You're God, and you call me by name. Do you hear him call you by name? But see, you even hear him call you something else. My love, my fair one, my dove. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. By the grace of God, let's stand in that church of Philadelphia. Amen. And not be moved. Little pillars. There you go. But see, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It is so beautifully marvelous. It's all about knowing him. And when you know him, you know what to ask. And you know what to command in grace. Amen. Look what Paul said. Yeah. If by any means, Lord, you do whatever it takes. If by any means, I want this resurrection. Just this one. I want the out one. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? To the point where Paul says in 2 Timothy, I've finished. That's commanding in grace. That's standing on grace. That's confident in grace. That's knowing the magnificent, perfect work of grace. It's the message that we have been given. We have the same thing. As Paul said, it wasn't given to me only. All them that love him, that love his appearing, praise be to God. Now let's go back. Because I got to leave you with something to just chew on that is just so beautiful here. Verse 14, Exodus 33. So here he goes. All right. And he said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, the Lord knows here that he's pricked Moses' heart because this is God's work. The fellowship and the intimacy the Lord has always longed for with Moses is just now going to even pour out further. Moses isn't just asking, but again, he's commanding in grace. He's inquiring, if you will, of love. The love that is mine, your grace has told me. He's going to say, show me now. Show me now. That's what grace does. See, grace is like this. The more you take, the more you want. It's amazing. And we have all grace. I know it's all there, but the more I take by grace, the more I want by grace. The more he gives you, the more you want. It's kind of like that content thing, but yet you want more. You know? And that's how God does it. Now, here's where it really gets deep. My presence shall go with you. That presence isn't just a face. It's faces. And it's not just faces. It means the faces of the cherubim. It's incredible, brothers and sisters. Now, we're talking glory time. Let's remember this. Let's put this in perspective. In a moment, this is building. Okay? He says, show me thy way that I may know thee. All right? 120 years have passed. He knows the Lord, but there's some more. He's going to get to the point here. He's going to break forth in just a few verses. We're not going to get there tonight. But I think I've told you enough times. Show me thy glory. Lovely. Lovely. So he's preparing him. He's preparing him of what he's going to see. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That word presence, praise God, is the faces of the cherubim. The Lord has always been with Moses. We know that. 120 years, he's never forsaken him. But this is glory time, and there must be a changing in Moses, if you will. Brothers and sisters, this is the testimony to us, the changing in the cherubim. The changing is from what? Glory to glory into his image. And now he is readying Moses to see glory. And to see glory, it's got to be the faces of the cherubim. His presence, if you will, to see it. I pray you're going to see this in just a second. Now think of this. Someday, and I believe soon, Moses and his other friends, the friends of the Lord, that cloud, if you will meet and be revealed his bride, his glory. Think of that. Moses is saying, show me thy glory. What do you think the Lord's even thinking of? Oh, you're going to see my glory, Moses. My presence shall go with thee. Now, wait a second. How was the Lord just thinking of a moment in time of his presence with Moses? What's the Lord always thinking about for us? Eternity. And the Lord speaks to us in type and shadow. Why would that word presence mean the faces of the cherubim? You bet. Wow. Why would that mean that? Because it means something. To us who believe. To to us who understand and we dwell in that mystery. So I can even take it to that point. You know what? I know that great cloud of witness, that cloud that will be with him, that meets the bride in the air. Oh, Moses will be part of that. And see, he showed him a glimpse of that glory. And that glory had to still be, it was just like the glory shown to Ezekiel. Come on, we just studied this stuff, didn't we? Didn't Ezekiel see some of that glory? Didn't Isaiah see some of that glory? The cherubim and the seraphim? Huh? Did they know they were looking at the bride? No. But they knew that was glory with him, and they knew it was glory for him. Hebrews 9:4, the cherubims of glory. It's just perfect. You don't have to stretch it. It's just what it is. It can't mean that unless it means that. It wouldn't be there unless it was part of the whole mystery revealed by the Apostle Paul. And it's the truth. It's marvelous. Now, this is our testimony, because this is Paul's gospel that changes us by that grace into that cherubim, if you will, readying us not just, hallelujah, to see the glory, but to be his glory that all will see. The word of God tells us in Romans 8, all of creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's his glory. There's a groaning for it. Moses was groaning to see it. Abraham was groaning to see it. And they didn't understand what his glory really is or was. That he was thinking of even at the time in the garden. Son, it's not good for man to be alone. What was on their mind? Glory. Vessels prepared afore unto glory. You know what that word afore is? That's before a star was set in heaven. He was thinking about glory for him. Hallelujah. You glory for him. Why would he not speak of it all throughout the word of God? Amen? Why would it not be all throughout the word of God? Amen? Amen. Because this is what it is. Why would he take that host, the friends of the bridegroom, coming to get his bride? Why would he take that host to see her? Because it's the most treasured thing to him. And those are his treasured friends. And I thank the Lord. There is such a romantic beat in my heart for that. My bridegroom's going to bring his friends to meet me. I've read of them. He's told me of them. But I've never met them personally. But I'll see them. And by the grace of God, they will behold his glory. Do you think his friends are saying today, oh, show me thy glory? If you don't think they are, you don't get it. Because it's ongoing. They even too have their glorified bodies. Think of that. They're with him now. The conversations that they're privy to as well too. With him, I'm sure, and the Father at times. The arguments, I'm sure they have. Oh, can I go get her today, God? I'm not saying arguments. But just that passion, you know what I'm saying. It's real. Let's close this up. My presence shall go with you, the faces of the cherubim, and I will give you rest. Literally means the place where the camels lie down. Okay. I have to tell you, it was so sweet. My brother and sister-in-law, they recently were down in Phoenix. And they got to ride a camel. That's a big beast. But this was a gentle one. Didn't spit. Didn't do any of these things that us camels do. But when that camel would take them up and let them down, it would get down real gently on its knees. and rest as they would get on and they would get off. She's going to light off that camel. Now, I don't know if she's going to wait till that camel kneels down or not. It just might. Poof. But that camel's resting now. You understand that? Even though we're on a journey, camels, don't we rest in him? We're not. I've seen camels running around loose, and man, they can run ornery and crazy and all of that. But when you're tied to that chain, a prisoner of the Lord with the Holy Ghost, you just walk on. You just walk on. It don't matter what's going on because you know where that's leading. So here it is. This is the glory that Moses is going to see. The faces of the cherubim and the camel. The grace that causes us to rest in the journey. That at the end, those who rest, what a transformation. Think of it this way. The cherubim, the four living ones, the bridal company is just about ready to light off that camel. And we've just started this. And I can't tell you all what's in here because, you know, it just kind of, it's like, well, it's way beyond, but I don't know if you ever found some show you like the episodes and it just stops and you go, oh, what's going on? But when he brings you into this, you know what I'm saying? It's so beyond that, but it's a type I can only give you. It's oh my goodness, Lord, what is in there? But sometimes he'll have me to wait. He won't just necessarily pour all of it out at once in that. Show me thy glory. 120 years, and he hadn't seen nothing yet. Pretty amazing. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.